Hello everyone, welcome to season 2 of SCP Revealed. In this season, we're going to be looking at all of the SCP-01 proposals, as they are generally seen as the most powerful, most important, or like the origin for the SCP Foundation. Just to be clear, none of these stories are real. They're all fictional, written by multiple authors that you could find on the SCP Wiki. But however, there are some tales that are based around events in our timeline, just to give them a more authentic feel. There are over 31 SCP-01 proposals, as the canon for the SCP universe is rather flexible, meaning that just because someone says something doesn't mean it's the way it is in that world, I guess. So sometimes in these documents, like, there might be a world-ending scenario. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that in that SCP universe the world ended, it just means for that document it did, if that makes sense. These documents also sometimes allude to certain people of interest or certain unique protocols, so I'll try to give some background on those parts that I feel that I feel are a little bit confusing and might need to be explained a little bit better. I'm also going to omit saying object class, as most of these have unique object class names, mainly just to make them stand out. But overall, these are usually top secret and usually hold a threat to the overall population. But today, we are going to be looking at Dr. Mann's proposal, called the Spiral Path. There is a log attached telling some background of how the SCP got its start as well. But before I get into that, let me give you some background on Dr. Mann himself. So Dr. Mann's duties for the SCP Foundation is as a medical researcher. And his history. Everett Mann was raised by his uncle, a rather unconventional medical researcher. Spurned by his colleagues, the elder Dr. Mann raised his nephew to be his heir. He had the young boy help him in a number of unethical experiments administered to the poor under the guise of a local health clinic. Eventually, the law caught up to him, and he was put into prison, where he eventually died. Young Everett then bounced from foster home to foster home. He was teased by other children, and then ultimately left alone by them after they began to start to fear him. Everett knew he was different from other children, but he didn't understand why. He attempted to blend in, but somehow his effort just never paid off. When he turned 18, he received his inheritance from his uncle. It was a fair amount of money, and so he used it to attend the University of Redacted, where he eventually redacted. The university granted him a diploma as part of an out-of-court settlement, and he began his postgraduate work. By the time he had received his doctorate, he had already made something of a name for himself in the field of neurosurgery, though he was still regarded as a troubled man. It was at this point that he was contacted by agents for the Foundation. They were interested in certain documents that the uncle had possessed. Under the guise of publishing house, they obtained permission to look through his uncle's storage. While they were there, they disturbed Redacted, at which point Dr. Mann and one of the agents were injured. Dr. Mann made use of the old equipment stored in the room, and using the techniques his uncle had taught him, managed to save himself and the agent, though there were some side effects. The Foundation became interested in the young doctor, and after several weeks of deliberation, recruited him into their ranks. He is easily distinguished by most researchers by his large handlebar mustache and mutton chops. Alright, now that I've given some background on him, let's look at the actual document itself. Item number SCP-001. Containment Procedures. SCP-001 is contained on the grounds of Site Zero in Upstate Redacted. A fence has been constructed around the perimeter of SCP-001's observed effects. In addition to Site Zero security, no fewer than 5 armed guards are to be present at all times to prevent unauthorized entry. The adjoining physics laboratory will be manned at all hours, studying any anomalies. A small metal plaque bearing an inscription will be maintained in good condition. Any damage done to the plaque is to be reported to maintenance immediately. Description: SCP-001 is a circular gravel path in a wooded area. When traveled in a counterclockwise direction, the trail continuously goes uphill. Even after reaching the top of the hill, it will appear to keep going. When traveled clockwise, the trail will show the same anomaly but going downhill until you reach the point of origin. And this begins the log. If you're reading this, then congratulations. One of us has died. Something must have killed us. A monster, perhaps, or a rival from the GOC. Or maybe we just got a little too close to the flame, like Aaron. Not old age, of course. We took care of that, didn't we? Anyway, one of the old guard is gone. Maybe Jason, maybe Agnes, maybe me. Hell, I'd be surprised if it wasn't me. I was always the most expendable one, it seemed. I'm going to write this as though you were a human being. It will be the last time anyone extends you the courtesy, so I hope you appreciate it. Whoever you are, whatever you did before, you must have been a high-ranking person when you were pulled into this. You must have noticed the discrepancies, the inconsistencies. I don't know how much you've already been told, or how much you've pieced together, but the crux of the matter is this. The retrievals and recoveries of SCP objects are staged, or completely made up. We have never discovered an SCP in the entire history of the Foundation. I should start from the beginning. Let me tell you a story. Aaron Siegel was a physicist studying at Cornell in 1891. He was a truly gifted individual, and had his life taken a different path, I believe that his name would be there with Edison, Einstein, and even Hawking. I knew him very well. He was, and may still be, my brother. He was also an avid amateur naturalist, and enjoyed hiking through the woods. One day, while visiting our family home in Essex County, he came across a gravel path. He decided to follow it for a time, and noticed that it kept climbing uphill far longer than it should have. It should have taken him above the nearby hills. Instead, he found himself back where he'd started, without a foot of downward travel. Another man would have assumed his senses were faulty. Aaron, however, was a stubborn man. He investigated further. He found the path did not conform to the pure geometry of the Earth. Like Sector before him, he had found something off-putting regarding the nature of the straight lines. He studied it. The equations he derived are part of the file you have already received. You'll learn them eventually. He built a small shack nearby which served as a makeshift laboratory. His first experiments produced a key capable of opening any lock, now contained as SCP-005. He brought in others. As his brother, you know, I was the first one to be contacted. I was a medical student at Harvard at the time, and initially had thought him mad, but when he showed me the path, the key, I had to learn more. There were others, too, other friends and other colleagues. Most of them are gone now, but we were the core. We created the Foundation as it is now. In the beginning, it was just about discovery, about finding the things that we could do. We had such high hopes, such plans. We were going to change the world. We were going to save it from itself. We could feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick and dying. Thomas Carter found us money. We were none of us poor, but we ran through our fortunes pretty quickly. Thomas used his connection in Wall Street and Washington to fund us. He showed them the least of what we were able to do, and promised heaven against the threat of hell. Agnes Peterson, my brother's fiancée, was the administrator. We knew nothing about how to run an organization, We were just a herd of cats running to and fro, and she turned us into the Foundation, putting us dreamers and madmen to the same ideas. We soon had a facility built, but we were so secretive. As much as we wanted to shout from the rooftops what we had found, we were frightened, too, that it would all be taken away from us. We told ourselves that it was just for now, just until we got our footing. Then we'd show them. We'd show them all. We were careful at first, making small, inoffensive, or even helpful items. The Fountain of Youth, the Bouncing Ball, the Civil War statue. We grew more confident, and we started working on humans. The Concrete Man, he volunteered. Or the man on the abdominal planet. Just a drifter, but we made him into something special, didn't we? It was all so easy. Perhaps it seems absurd to get so many things from just that one little slip in reality. But it all flowed, one discovery after the next. It almost seemed like something was trying to help us along. But then things started going a bit wrong. When he was playing with his equations, Aaron accidentally derived the missing number. In my laboratory, I found I've made the zombie plague. But we were too invested in our projects. We were too focused on pushing ahead. Then came the pipe nightmare and the stairwell. We knew we were going to need more help. Thomas showed what we had done to the military, told them what we found, discovered them. We made up names like Prometheus Labs and the Chaos Insurgency. They gave us funding, personnel. We built upwards and expanded outwards. We repeated the cell in other countries. Some listened and some didn't. Enough did, though. We became an international organization. We brought in more researchers, though very few ever suspected we were the source of the ones making the items they were studying. Sometimes, we would arrange for an object to be found in the field by a team, or sometimes we would simply just write a fake report saying we found it. We generated the paperwork, and we were the ones overseeing it, so no one questioned it. If we said a thing was, then it was. It still is. There were still problems, of course. Jeremy and Thomas took one of our experiments and ran off with it, creating their ridiculous club. One of our researchers grew mad and started worshipping machines, escaping with enough knowledge to be dangerous. We still deal with the fallout of these splinter groups even today. So we decided to contain them. We handled them. We couldn't stop. Surely you can see that. Rather than being more cautious, we grew more bold. I cut a little boy up and turned him into the flesh that hates. There were reasons. There were always reasons. 231. We created her and her sisters. We took them from an orphanage and arranged for what had followed. It was no accident. We knew what we were doing. There was a reason for it once, but I'll be damned if I can remember it now. None of us do, except maybe my brother, wherever, whatever he is now. So we kept moving forward, even after Abel, after the Blood Pond, after the indestructible reptile, we still moved forward with our work. What else can we do? Our only hope is to survive the events we've set in motion, and to do that, we need to understand them better, to learn more. We're on the back of a terrible beast, and if we try to jump off now, we'll be crushed beneath it. But that's not what frightens me, and it isn't what should fright, and it isn't what should frighten you. We've maintained our foothold for over 100 years now. The thing that I really worry about is the anomalies that we didn't create. No, I was telling you the truth the first time. We didn't discover any of these things. We did make them. But some of them, they aren't our work. They just were there one day. They were in containment and had always been in containment. Don't you see? We're not in control anymore. We never were. And this ends the log as well as the document. And this has been SCP-001, The Spiral Path, submitted by Dr. Mann. I think this one was pretty interesting in, like, telling how the Foundation was, you know, got its footing and how it started, pretty much. But, I mean, I kind of think it's dumb how it says we couldn't stop making these things. Because, I mean, like, you really could. I mean, all you would have to do is just contain the ones you already created or destroy them, and then there would be no threat. Like, I mean, sure, maybe some of them, like the indestructible reptile, you know, maybe that would be too hard to destroy. But, I mean, you could contain it. I don't know. But thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed.